Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we have an all-pundit show with Fred Locken, Mike Draper, and Mackenzie Warren. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson, we'll save you a drink.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're actually taping our last program in Carson City for this session on the morning of Wednesday, May 26th, with only 5 days to go in the session. We have a great Power Pundit panel here. Fred Locken is here, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Mike Draper is a partner with Argentum Partners, and Mackenzie Warren, finally here in person, which is awesome, attorney and vice president of government affairs for McDonald Corrado. So Fred, let me start with you, because you may be the only person who doesn't have any restrictions on you talking about the secret negotiations going on about mining taxes that then affect gaming taxes. Where do you think things are sitting at this point?
I think they're still going on. I think the session may run out before they can resolve it myself. They're not close as far as I know, not as close as they need to be with 5 days remaining.
Mackenzie, would you agree with that?
That's not really my issue. I'm not there, but I can tell you that the games are very much in play, holding bills hostage, seeing who's going to move what bill. So I think it's probably a fair assessment.
Mike, this would have incredible ramifications for both mining and gaming if this were to end up on the ballot next year.
Well, certainly. I think that that some sense of certainty for both industries is a priority. So I think that, just as Mackenzie said, I think we're at that time where every session where we look like we're going to run out of time, but many major policy issues have passed in the last 4 or 5 days of a legislative session, and we're right. It's crunch time, right? And this is when things get done based on priorities, and I think this is a high priority.
Now, do you think we're going to be getting done by midnight on Monday, or is it going to be a Kenny Gwynn 1 a.m. because it's daylight time that we can get this done?
I think we'll be done by midnight on Monday. I think there's a lot of work. I think that obviously there's posturing and there's negotiating, and I think that we'll see that there'll be a lot of late night meetings over the next 4 or 5 days, but I think we'll be done by Monday.
Fred, another one that's hanging out there, although it's gotten through one house with a huge percentage, is Chris Brooks's energy bill.
Well, it is Nevada, after all, and I think that we have an emerging pattern out of the legislature of moving on energy issues every session. There are a lot of moving pieces in this one, and I think that NV Energy has been deeply involved in its parts of it. I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to continue to do very exciting things in energy, so I suspect they're going to pass something. You may lose parts of the bill, but I think a lot of it's going to pass.
Was it a surprise to you, Mackenzie, that the RJ wrote an editorial saying that there are a lot of pieces of this that are really unknowns, and that if we pass this, perhaps there will be money makers in the future for NV Energy and the state, and maybe not?
I think that's a tale as old as time, right? I think in the building there were lots of jokes of, you know, calling it Senator Brooks' bill, is it the governor's bill, is it NV Energy's bill, right? That's the pattern. But I think Fred's right. We've got to start somewhere. I will give it to Senator Brooks to get some Republicans on board. It took a lot of work, and I think Greenlink is what got him there because of the rural jobs. We've got to invigorate the state, and we've got to do better. So it was pretty impressive, the different pockets and the different interests that he was able to tap into with this bill to get the votes to move it forward. And it was probably one of the most well-orchestrated hearings or productions. I felt like, truly, I was at the theater. It was like, who's going to come up next? What other angle are they working with this bill? And Nevada's got to do better, and it remains to be seen. It's expensive, and we don't know what we don't know. Clean and renewable energy is changing all the time, but I will say it's an impressive starting point.
And it was very interesting that yesterday the LA Times had a major piece on San Onofre shutting down the nuclear power plant and the giant gap that that's going to leave for California as far as their energy needs, and how much nuclear power supplies across the country, and that it isn't being promoted as part of green energy unless you're talking about much smaller versions of it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about how we move forward with our opportunity for energy for now a couple of decades. Certainly since I started my career, we've been talking about positioning ourselves to take advantage of emerging energy sources and the need for additional energy supply around the West. This bill begins to get there. I mean, one of our biggest problems, if we take a step back, is there's only a handful of people in the state that really understand energy policy. Energy policy is some of the most difficult policy to understand. And so that's why there are so many unknowns. There are unknowns because we don't understand energy policy. There's a lot of people that don't understand energy policy. So it's hard to have a robust conversation. And there are a lot of unknowns about where we go forward. I think that we need to continue the conversation. But we as a state need to invest in the opportunity to take advantage of these emerging energy sources and the ability to supply other states.
And one of the things that you bring up as you say that is the fact that Scott Craigie, who was such a good friend to this program for many years and was our expert on transmission lines and things like that, and we lost him, and that's a very sad thing. Let's talk about the governor in this session, and you know, what has been his position in this session? I mean, this is his first real budget, because the budget that he had previously was inherited from Brian Sandoval. But his prominence has not been great. He's been all over the state and all over Las Vegas and Reno, but has he been all over Carson City?
Not so much. The vibe I get is the same vibe over the special sessions of a lot of confusion with governor and staff in terms of even the handoff to the Democratic leadership in the legislature. Much less the frustrations from the Republicans for not feeling like they're being invited when they should be invited. And that seems to be sort of an emerging hallmark of this administration. It's a governor that has dealt with one of the greatest crises the state has ever seen. I don't know if it's taken the wind out of the sail, but this has been, we were discussing before camera, it's been a rather lackluster session in some ways, not as engaging. We certainly don't see a presence of the governor like we did. Sandoval set a high bar. And I don't know that anyone who followed Sandoval was going to, you know, to really shine as well, but it just seems like this could be more hands-on than it is, more clear in terms of what they want. They've backpedaled on some things that we were all surprised on, and so that's kind of muddled this session.
And Kenny Guinn was also a constant presence at the legislature. What are your thoughts on this?
I do think it's probably fair to recognize what Governor Sisolak has inherited. I think it's a job that no one would want to be in. I mean, being a governor of any state during the pandemic and difficult decisions, and there are going to be critics no matter what you do. I also think the composition of this body and term limits have changed. We have so many freshmen that I think are passionate and excited and well-intended, but it's difficult to herd. And so I think the junior makeup of the body, sort of the ire over coming out of the pandemic and the pressure of thinking the governor could do better is probably a lose-lose situation for him. He was in the building last week for what it's worth. I do think these last 5 days and this last week is really when we start to see more communication from the governor's office than ever. I think Mike can attest to that as well. So we're seeing it now, but he's facing an election. So he's got to walk a very tight rope, and I don't think that should come as a surprise to anyone.
Congressman Amadei was on the show a couple of days ago, and he was saying that by the time the election rolls around, nobody's going to be worrying about COVID because it's all going to be over by then, and the economy is going to be on the upswing dramatically.
I think that's accurate. I think that we're already rebounding, you know, I think even better than we anticipated, and I think we all were very confident that we'd rebound quickly. I think, you know, the other thing, and it, I think McKinsey's dead on, and I think when we look at leadership and we compare it to previous leadership, and it doesn't matter if it's governor, it's president, it's your local elected official, we're in a hyper partisan environment, maybe as partisan as it's been in a couple of decades. And so it's very difficult for anyone to succeed in that environment. I think that really our leaders need to, rather than perpetuate that hyper-partisan environment, we need leadership, and I'm not sure that leaders that are mediators and bring people together are the ones that get elected. Right now, we're encouraging more partisanship in our elections instead of people that are, you know, like Kenny, Governor Gwynn or Governor Sandoval, that were really about how do we represent all Nevadans, you know, and we're much more down the middle.
And to go back to what McKinsey was saying, term limits is a big part of the problem here.
Oh, truly. One of the most significant mistakes, I think, made the loss of that experience, especially for a part-time legislature, has been devastating. And to your point, spot on, not only the partisanship between the Republicans and Democrats, but within each of the parties, yes. And especially mm-hmm. for the Democrats, this change in the Democratic Party leadership at the state level, the progressive agenda, that has easily been a bigger challenge than anything the Republicans have brought to this election.
So many shades of blue, so many shades of red, and that building is more purple than I think any of us can remember.
Yes, it's almost like we now have four parties operating in Nevada, two on the Democratic side, two on the Republican side.
We used to celebrate being Nevadan Democrat or Nevada Republican. It was different than what it was around the country, and mm-hmm. it was we all sort of, we worked much more closely. Now we almost vilify that, and you better pick a side, and you better be, you know, far on that side.
I keep walking around the building looking for the blue dogs, but I can't find them. We'll be right back.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with this great panel. Fred Locken is here, Mike Draper, and Mackenzie Warren. Education, Fred, $500 million, and they're saying, well, it's a good start.
It's a good start. Frankly, our educational system never was strong and broke down further, so it's not going to be fixed overnight by any stretch. I think everybody is happy to see that the investments that started under the Sandoval administration have started to move the needle. That is exciting news, and I think that Democrat and Republican, this is an area of maybe a little bit more bipartisanship, of sensing that we can make more momentum out of this. It's critical to our future. If we want economic diversification, we literally have to fix K-12. And I think we're in a very lucky situation where we have a little bit more money than usual, but look how targeted they are in the way that they want to spend it. So I think this is a good move.
And yet lots more money is going to come in. I mean, literally, we are going to be awash in money.
Right. And it's sort of the broken record. Any legislator you talk to, they say they wish that we had the federal dollars now so we could actually do something. I think, you know, the lobbyists are sort of breathing a sigh. We all lost our summer last year during the interim and being in the special sessions and trying to tinker with the budget to the best of our ability. It's looking like fall. We're hearing 2, maybe even 3 special sessions. That's going to be a great time, I think, to finally fill in those holes, some of those areas that maybe got overlooked. So I do think there's a level of frustration that money isn't at our disposal now. But
all right, so special session for the federal funds, special session for redistricting. What will be the third one?
Could be fixes to Dieter, could be kind of anything hanging out there that the thought process didn't exactly gel. The eviction glide path is another major bill that just dropped a few days ago. That's funded currently at only $5 million, which, you know, I represent the Nevada State Apartment Association, and they lose $17 million a month in rental arrears during this eviction moratorium. So $5 million. Drop in the bucket. So that there could just be some fixes of policy that was put in place this session that may need to go away because it's not functioning, or it may need an influx of cash because it's actually working.
And that's been a fascinating situation because it's not just tenants and landlords, but it's also mortgage services. That if you can't pay your mortgage, these mortgage servicing companies, and it's not been in the news for quite a while, but they were getting hammered because they have to pay the original investors, whether they get paid by the landlords or not.
The fallout is really incredible, and I have to advocate for my clients, but in the building you're hearing a lot about tenants and advocacy for the tenants, and I think messaging has been one of the biggest issues throughout the pandemic, whether it's articulating to folks that the vaccine is safe, or whether it's sharing information on how they can access rental assistance dollars that are there for the taking. So communication, I think as a state, what we've learned is that we can always do better with getting the word out to constituents and our folks to let them know this is how you can help yourself, this is what you should be aware of. And I think that's been an undercurrent in a lot of the policy. We can make great policy, but if we don't push it out to the people it's intended to help, then who are we helping?
So you're the marketing expert sitting here at the table, certainly on the PR side. And this has been a conversation. We're taping a whole bunch of shows this morning. It's been a theme throughout this program of all the areas where we're failing in terms of marketing to the public about things that are available. And I would give as an example the conference about do we want a public option or not when there's so much money available with Medicaid and that's not being used.
Well, I think again, I'll come back to from a messaging standpoint. When you're in a hyper-partisan environment, I think everything is shaded with political undertones. And so, if you're communicating about rental assistance, that's shaded with a progressive and liberal undertone, so conservatives tune out. Or if you're communicating about public option and or Medicaid services and benefits, that's shaded with political tones. And so one side yells at the other, discredits or undermines that messaging. I think at some point we have to decide how to best support Nevadans. And you're right, particularly on the public option bill. We have a lot of people that are eligible for Medicaid that aren't taking advantage of those services. We should be starting there. How do we give people the services they need that are already available? And how do we go out and communicate and reach out to those people? And I think that we need to invest in our communication and in avenues of communication for Nevadans.
One of the things that seems to me that has occurred over the last couple of sessions, and I've been very grateful to everybody from you guys coming on, to the politicians who have come on, but there are a lot of politicians who are staying as far away as they can from the media. Is this good for the public or horrible?
Horrible.
I know which way I'm on.
Exactly. No, horrible. I mean, that is... I was listening this morning to just how media coverage is changing nationally and internationally, and we're experiencing it at the state level. There is a distrust that has developed within some sectors that the media is out to no good, to all evil. We can't talk to them, and yet go and read disinformation on the internet left and right and see that it's somehow true. The whole system is destructured, but yes, elected officials who should be as transparent, open, and communicative as they can be often are avoiding these media conversations. It's a very bad thing, but I honestly don't know how we fix it.
Mackenzie, you have a very interesting perspective coming from a reporting background and now as an attorney and as a lobbyist. How do you view this?
I would agree, and I think it's just we have fewer outlets. So it feels like when there aren't as many microphones, that can I trust this outlet? I will say I have to give a shout out to the Nevada Independent. I mean, they are kind of holding this state together. In my view, their watchful eye is so critical in that building. And a few of the TV stations do their best, but unless you're embedded in that building, you miss so much nuance. You know, there were bills being, you know, sent to work session at 10:30 at night. That didn't make the 11 o'clock news. So the cycle has changed, the number of outlets that we have there. And I think, you know, COVID, right? There was so much hysteria and fear, which was real. But depending on which side of the aisle you're on, maybe you did view it as exploitive over dramatized. And so I think coming off of the pandemic, coupled with the fact that we have so few outlets, really does a disservice to the public, because the media is the best tool we have to hold those accountable and to get the information to people at home that are so disconnected from the process otherwise.
But I think, let's face it also, in addition to all of those things, certainly media, and this is a blanket statement and it's not meant to cover all media, but certainly we've accepted that some major media outlets have begun to slant their editorializing. And that's on both sides and from all political viewpoints, but it's no longer become about just reporting what's happened and covering what's happened and being a watchdog. It's about reporting all those things through a slant. And it's become very publicly accepted, but I think that's also built distrust. And it's unfortunate because I think our local and state media are fantastic and are very, very measured in how they cover things and are doing it, the way I think media has always been prided themselves on being a watchdog. But nationally, we've seen it become accepted for media to start to editorialize and take a position. And I think our elected officials see that and become very fearful about how they approach the media.
We'd be remiss, though, of not recognizing the impact of social media as
sure.
Well. That's something they can control, whereas they don't know if they're going to be given a hard question to answer with a camera running. So social media has really transformed this as well.
You know, there's such a thing as training, media training, to learn how to do this. And I don't teach it, but it is available.
It is.
We'll be right back.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York. And because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at NevadaHeating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel here. Fred Locken, Mike Draper, Mackenzie Warren. So I asked the last panel, what's the best thing about the session? My question to you guys is, what's keeping you up at night?
Oh. Actually, the future of the state of Nevada. We have to find, I think, middle ground between the two parties and get back to what was Nevada. We're not going in a good direction.
Mackenzie?
Leadership. What does leadership look like? There's always that age-old rumor of, will the speaker leave? Will the majority leader leave? And I think that causes real concern because we have developed trust with some of those leaders. And if we're looking at a completely different composition in 2023, then to Fred's point, what does the future of our state look like? That's a concern.
What kind of Nevada will my kids have? I think that neither party represents me. I think that there's a lot of people that feel that way, particularly a lot of people that are young professionals and families that feel like they're not represented. And I'm hopeful, very hopeful, that someone will stand up and take a position that represents me.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.